The Tennessee Valley Authority celebrated its 80th anniversary this year. It was established by FDR and remains the largest public power company in the United States. But as Ken Atterborg writes in Fortune magazine, heritage only gets you so far. His article, Uncle Sam's River, describes how the TVA has become a victim of outdated rules and its own poor decisions and has once again found itself in the political crosshairs. The article appears in the October 28th edition of the magazine. I'm very pleased that it brings Ken Atterborg to our show today. Welcome.
Good to be here, Leonard.
The TVA is a corporation controlled by the federal government. Isn't that a contradiction? How does that partnership work?
Well, it is a contradiction, but we all own it. And essentially what's happened over the past 80 years is that the TVA has become sort of an off-budget item. It generates its own revenues, gets no federal appropriations, and to some extent it's become, for most of us, it's become out of sight and out of mind.
But it's not allowed to issue stock. It's not allowed to sell power outside its territory. To what extent have those limitations held the TVA back from growing?
Well, most utilities have defined service areas, but in the case of TVA, a lot of utilities have become they've become pretty smart operators in terms of trying to find ways to spread their costs. There's been lots of big utility mergers in the last couple of years. The TVA finds itself sort of restrained in that it has the utilities have these enormous investments in the capital expenditures for generating plants, and they like to be able to sell their electrons when they're not using them for their own customers, and TVA is forbidden from doing that. So it has fixed costs that it can't spread out the way some other utilities are able to do so.
And it relies totally on hydroelectric power? Could it start putting up wind propellers or whatever those things are called?
Wind turbines, but TVA started in the hydro business, and that was its sort of first hydro business and flood control in the 1930s. And their dams are really what powered a lot of the war arsenal in the United States. And then it built, as demand continued, it built a huge fleet of coal plants and then got into nuclear. Wind is, everyone thinks wind is a great idea, but if you sort of look at a wind map of the United States, the Tennessee Valley is really not a great place to generate wind. And so it's really pretty far away from the prime wind areas, let's say in the just off the Rocky Mountains, or even if they ever get to offshore wind in the Atlantic Ocean, in terms of getting the wind there. So it's a little bit capped in terms of other renewable resources besides hydro.
How much income does the TVA generate?
So it has about, $10.5 billion of revenue. And it's some years it's profitable in the sense of, it has more profit, not in the sense of from a government standpoint, but it has less expenses than its revenues. But it's got a lot of upcoming capital expenditures to modernize its fleet and to move away from coal. But again, as a public power thing, its organizational structure is different from, let's say, a Con Edison or PSE&G or what have you. It's not in the business of making money. It's in the business of providing low-cost power. And that relationship sort of affects everything that it does.
On the other hand, doesn't the TVA CEO earn the most money of any federal employee? Last year, he made more than twice the pay of all the Supreme Court justices combined. Is that one of the reasons people are starting to criticize the TVA?
I think big salaries get a lot of attention, and it's not for me to say whether Bill Johnson will be overpaid or not. But on the other hand, running a $10.5 billion corporation with nuclear power plants and the transmission lines and the power stations is a pretty complicated job, and I'm not sure that you want it being based out at a you want people who are long-term invested in it and perhaps going to a sort of a general government rating for it might not give you the quality of personnel you want. But it is a lightning rod.
And the TVA directors wound up being politically selected. They're nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate, and that process sometimes takes years to complete. So are these people really in the electricity generating business, or are they people who have political connections?
A little bit of both. I mean, there's some people on the board who have been there's a gentleman who was the former mayor of Vicksburg, Mississippi, who owns a bookstore, but has also been involved. Vicksburg has a public power company that buys electricity from the TVA, so he's been involved in that. And there's a woman from Memphis, I think, who is also in charge of her public board. But it's probably not the same degree of expertise that you might find at an investor-owned utility, such as a Duke or AEP or a Southern company.
Now that
there's a different pay structure, and there's a different reward, and there's the confirmation process is pretty brutal.
And ultimately, the power bills are a lot lower. The TVA supplies power to states that are largely red states. Is the TVA under attack from politicians from red states?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that people would like TVA to do better, but I think it's like a lot of things, it's become a red state problem, and people want to protect of their own. In other words, that if anybody's going to beat up on TVA, it's going to be them rather than a bunch of Democrats.
But there's a certain irony here. They're talking about they're complaining about socialism in changing health care, in other things, and yet this is, to some degree, isn't this a socialist corporation? I mean, it's a government-run corporation competing in a way with private corporations, because that's the way it is in the rest of the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair argument, and TVA was certainly set up as a grand expansion of government powers and obligations to bring power and some degree of prosperity to a pretty poor part of the country, and then it's sort of gone on from there.
And a lot of people are happy, not only because electricity costs less, but you say the water that turns the turbines also helps cool the reactors, fills the shipping channels, and keeps the fly fishermen happy.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you imagine that the Tennessee River is a pretty big river. It's, 650 miles, and it starts in the mountains and it ends up the Ohio River near Paducah. And TVA is essentially, they're managing every drop of water that moves through there, and there's lots of different people who want different things from the river at different times, whether it's a person who wants to take their boat out on a Saturday afternoon, or a person who wants to go fishing, or a person who wants to hike along a trail, or a person who wants low power rates from running lots of hydro.
Didn't a dam manager tell you that if the water isn't flowing on a Saturday morning to move the fish, people start calling their congressmen to complain?
Yeah, and again, that's the sense of ownership that people have with the TVA, that it's their power company.
My guest is Ken. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I was just going to reintroduce you, Ken Outerborg, who has written an article for Fortune magazine called Uncle Sam's River. It's in the October 28th issue. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You write that its generating fleet is too old and still too dependent on coal. You also say that its plans to build new nuclear plants have been stalled over the past three decades by the federal debt limit. Is there any tension between plant employees who might want to make some changes and the government officials who oversee plant operations?
I think my sense is that the thing that TVA would like to get lifted most is the debt limit, which was set back in 1959. And so if you did a sort of imaginary inflationary adjustment, it really hasn't kept pace with what is the, what are their true needs.
And who determines the debt limit?
The federal government does.
So is this similar?
So that,
So right. The same sort of thing that we just saw with the federal debt limit could also be a problem in Congress in dealing with the TVA?
Yeah, again, that's you know, in some sense, TVA's debt becomes our debt, even though they're separate. But I think that the fear is increasing the debt level would just encourage them to perhaps build more, and rather than look at their fleet strategically, because in the last iteration they got into trouble with their debt limit from trying to build too many nuclear plants at once.
Is there resistance in the area to having more nuclear plants?
Yes and no. I mean, there's that part of the world is not perhaps has the strongest environmental community, but there's a pretty active group of people who want less nuclear power in the region, and I think that's a big fight over how do we get the power? Coal is considered is going away slowly, but it is decreasing. Everyone's turning to natural gas, but we haven't hit a natural gas supply spike yet. And nuclear is, once you get the plants up and running, they can be pretty low-cost generators, but the construction costs can be pretty unbearable. And there's the whole, haunting of Fukushima and Three Mile Island that is on the landscape.
Last April, President Obama called for reducing or eliminating the federal government's role in programs such as the TVA, which have achieved, he said, their original objectives and no longer require federal participation. That was tucked into a 244-page budget request. Do you think the president was trying to keep this sentiment relatively quiet?
That's where budget requests end up. I don't think it was certainly not the highlight of his budget request, but it got people's attention in the valley, that's for sure. And whether, of all the other issues on his plate, is this his top priority? Probably not, but it perhaps sets up a conversation and a dialogue that will be helpful going forward.
And I'm assuming that the Congress people who represent the area covered by the TVA don't want to see many changes.
That's correct. I think they would probably if it's not broke, don't fix it. And so there's a larger question of whether the TVA is a broken model. And I'm not sure it is yet, but it's got some real challenges going forward that probably will be determined in the next 10 or 15 years about whether it can make the pivot to the sort of a new business model.
Well, the president has called for withdrawing from this kind of program. Is it possible that TVA could be sold to a private power corporation?
Well, anything's possible. I don't see that happening anytime soon. Probably one, because you have to find a buyer, which is can be difficult, and the buyer has to take on, might have to take on a lot of the non- power obligations of TVA, such as maintaining the reservoirs and the hiking trails and those sorts of things, and finding a price that works and kind of unraveling the system. I mean, it's become so, like anything else, any other government program, whether it's Social Security or Medicare, people may fight it at the beginning, but once it becomes a part of their way of life, it's very difficult to unravel it.
Ken Outerborg's article, Uncle Sam's River, is in the October 28th issue of Fortune magazine. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks very much, Leonard. I appreciate it.